I said at the beginning that I ran across the set of masses that a priest can offer for himself, and I don't remember ever using these masses, and I felt kind of awkward about it, but there's a mass that can be used by a priest on the anniversary of his ordination. I knew about this, and I thought, well, if I'm ever going to use that mass, tomorrow is the day. Usually, I say the mass, first of all, my anniversary is always in the Easter season, so there's an Easter weekday mass, and then my anniversary always falls on the feast of St. Peter Chanel and St. Louis de Montfort, so I honor them. I never say these masses, but I said, well, I might never get another opportunity, so I have decided tomorrow to use the mass for the priest on the anniversary of his ordination. But there are two other masses in this section for the priest himself. One of them is entitled, especially for a priest with the care of souls. I thought, well, that describes pretty much every priest, because that's what a priest is, a shepherd of souls. And I thought, well, this is, yesterday was Good Shepherd Sunday, today's gospel is about the Good Shepherd, and a priest is a shepherd. So I thought, it even mentions it in the prayers here, that the priest is a shepherd. So I thought, I'll use this mass today, this one, for a priest with care of souls, and then tomorrow I'll use the one for a priest on the anniversary of his ordination. And I can't go into this long explanation tomorrow, so I'm telling you today, that's why I'm doing this. Yes. So, and I think, I mean, I have been a little conflicted in how to celebrate the anniversary, because it's not natural to me to pay that much attention to myself, and I don't think it's really right for the priest to make himself the center of the attention of the flock. But on the other hand, it is right to celebrate the gift of the priesthood, and it's right to celebrate the anniversary of the priest. So even if it wasn't me, I think it would be a good thing to celebrate. So that's how I'm shifted my gears a little bit. And not only that, everybody else is so excited about the celebration, I'm getting caught up in the excitement like everyone. So that's tomorrow. Now today we are extending the theme of yesterday. Yesterday was Good Shepherd Sunday, fourth Sunday of Easter. And you might have noticed that the gospel yesterday did not say, in that gospel, Jesus did not say, I'm the good shepherd. He said, I'm the gate. He said it twice, I'm the gate. But we don't call it Gate Sunday. It doesn't even make sense to us. Next Sunday, Jesus will say, we'll be on retreat, so I've already looked ahead. Jesus will say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We don't call it Way, Truth, Life Sunday. But Good Shepherd Sunday has this nickname, Good Shepherd Sunday. And today's gospel, which is read during year A on a Monday, because this reading is usually read on the fourth Sunday. But anyway, in today's gospel, Jesus does say, I am the good shepherd. He says it twice. I am the good shepherd. So when I read that, I said, well, if Jesus, of course, Jesus is unique, and he is the priest, and what he says about himself, he must say in order for him to be known and for the Father to be known. But the priest who is acting in the name of Jesus has to also say, I'm a shepherd. He has to say that. Not to put attention on himself, but to declare the truth. So here's Jesus, I'm the good shepherd. He's not boasting. He's not focused on himself. He's declaring the truth. The truth which is for the good of the flock. And then he describes what a good shepherd is. A good shepherd, first of all, is a sacrificial shepherd. A good shepherd is a shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He mentions this twice, or maybe three times. Three times in this gospel. He will lay down his life for his sheep, clearly predicting his sacrificial death. Now, shepherds don't lay down their lives for their sheep. I mean, shepherds who take care of sheep, that wouldn't make any sense. And it wouldn't even be good, because shepherds are more valuable than sheep are. So you don't sacrifice shepherds for the sake of the sheep. If you lose a couple sheep, okay, cut your losses and move on. So Jesus is taking the natural image of shepherds and sheep and translating it or elevating it to a revelation about how God thinks about us. And God is a communion of sacrificial love. That's his whole style, is to pour himself out. So when God became man, he took on the role of sacrifice. So a good shepherd is a sacrifice. So that's what a priest is. A priest is one who performs the sacrifice. Another thing he says about the good shepherd is that he knows his own, and his own know him. I know mine, and mine know me. The shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. This is a very consoling thing to reflect on. That God, that Jesus, the good shepherd, knows us. I dwelt on this a little bit yesterday, because in yesterday's gospel, it said he calls them by name. He calls each sheep by name. He can't call them by name if he doesn't know their name. Well, he does know our name, and he knows not only our name, he knows everything about us, including the worst things that can be known about us. He knows it all. And he still loves us, and he still calls us, and he still leads us. So he knows us. That's one of the great things to know about the Good Shepherd. And we know him. We don't know him perfectly. Sometimes we get distracted, or we get deceived, or we just get lazy. But we know him. We can't deny that we know the shepherd, otherwise we wouldn't even be here. Deep in our hearts, we want to know the shepherd better. We want to know him more. As we follow him, we get to know him more. He already knows us fully. He doesn't have to learn about us. But we have to know him more fully. We have to learn about him. That's why we ponder the word. So that's the work of a shepherd, to sacrifice himself and to know his sheep and to be known by them. I'd like to shift this to the shepherd, the human shepherd, appointed by Jesus himself, that is Peter, the Apostle Peter, who's at the center of today's first reading. Peter's a shepherd. He's modeling his life after the Good Shepherd. He's going around. Now he's filled with the Holy Spirit, so he's repented of his sin, and he's not relying on his human strength, which wasn't very strong anyway. He's now relying on the strength of the Spirit as he goes forth and proclaims the gospel. He ends up in the city of Joppa, this coastal city. I don't know exactly where it is. I think it's a little bit north of the Gaza Strip. Anyway, so he's in Joppa and he has this vision. Now, in the Acts of the Apostles, this is recounted, I think, three times. First of all, there's the story of Cornelius, the Roman centurion, who has a vision of an angel. And the angel says, well, your prayers have been heard, now send to Joppa and have somebody get this guy, Peter. And at the same time, Peter's having this vision, which is recounted in today's first reading. That all happens in chapter 10 of the Acts of the Apostles. The vision of Cornelius, the vision of Peter, and then their encounter, and then when they meet, Peter says, well, why did you call me? And then Cornelius says again that he had this vision of an angel, and then Peter starts to proclaim the gospel, and the Holy Spirit comes down on everybody in the household. And then, so that's the second time. And then now, when the apostles and the believers in Jerusalem hear what happened, They question Peter about this. Well, actually, when Peter got back to Jerusalem, they say, what are you doing hanging around with Gentiles? You're going to be defiled by them. And then so Peter explains the whole thing again, and that's the reading we just heard. Now, the fact that that so much time is dedicated to this story in the Acts of the Apostles, even though we ourselves don't read it in the liturgy, it shows how important this is. Why? Because it's the training of Peter the shepherd to extend his care to a much larger flock. You might think that it's related to what Jesus said in the gospel today, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, these also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Peter has to learn there are other sheep, people whom he couldn't imagine belonged to God, because in his Jewish background, people who were not Jews were outsiders, and they were unclean. It was just automatic to Peter and the Jews to say these people are not included. Now, they can be good people, they can be worshippers of God, but they're basically unclean, and you can't go into their house, and you can't eat with them because you'll be defiled by them. Standard Jewish training, we would call it a prejudice, but that's how they were trained. So Peter, in order to be a shepherd of everyone, has to break through that prejudice, and this is how the Lord does it. This vision of this tarpaulin with the many different kinds of animals and birds and reptiles, kind of weird, but it was to shock Peter into a broader perspective of what's the difference between what's clean and unclean. He had very clear criteria for distinguishing clean from unclean, and he even said, I have never eaten anything unclean. Now, he's not at the stage in his life when he's boasting about his righteousness, because he knows he's a sinner. He denied the Lord three times. But when it comes to unclean food, perfect record. So what? So what, Peter? You think that's important? And then he gets the message. What God has made clean, you are not to call profane. What God has made clean. He's not talking about animals or reptiles or birds. He's talking about us. How are we made clean? By baptism. By having our sin washed away in the blood of the Lamb, we're made clean. And it's not because we're circumcised or not circumcised. It's not because we're Jews or not Jews. It's not because of who our family is or who our clan is or our race is or anything. It's because of the power of Jesus Christ to make us clean, to set us free from sin. So what God has made clean, you are not to call profane. And God wants everyone to be clean. Remember on Saturday we were celebrating the Feast of St. Mark, and we read in Mark's Gospel the words of Jesus, go into the whole world and proclaim the good news. Go into the whole world. Well, the whole world is full of unclean people. They're not Jews. So if we don't get, from Peter's perspective, if we don't get past the idea that we're only sent to Jews, we're not going to be able to go into the whole world. Now, this is a controversy between the Jews and the Gentiles. It took a while to settle. For Peter, it was settled by this vision and this experience of the Holy Spirit coming down on the Gentiles. It was settled. But in the church, it took a little while. And next week, in the fifth Sunday of Easter, we'll hear this being debated hotly in Jerusalem. But for now, it's important for us to recognize what Peter learned. The lesson he learned is the lesson not only for himself and for the shepherds, but for the whole church. And the lesson is this. If God gave them the same gift he gave to us when he came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to be able to hinder God? Who am I to declare who's clean and unclean? Who am I to be the one to judge who God favors or doesn't favor? It's a lesson about backing off and letting God be in charge. In charge of how he wants to favor people, how he wants to draw people, how he wants to instruct them. In fact, how he wants to deal with us too. We're not in charge. The Lord has a specific plan for us. He knows us by name. He knows his own. He wants us to know him. And each of us has a unique relationship with the shepherd. So we can't let our prejudices and our preconceived ideas and our controls and our selfishness, we can't let it get in the way. Let God's will be done. That's going back to my own personal experience. It seems it's God's will that we celebrate my anniversary tomorrow. It's God's will. So I'm going to do it as best I can. And we should all do it. We should all give thanks and praise to God. Because that's God's will. Not because of any particular person's agenda. I think that's part of the lesson we're learning from today's liturgy. Let's continue to give thanks to the Lord for being our good shepherd.